Good morning. Coming up on 810 here on the Mighty 690, we're joined now for our Ask the Expert segment with Scott Schultz of Morningstar Care Homes. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, James. Doing great.
Hey, good deal. You know, we're getting ready for some of that cold weather coming in and all that stuff. So, you know, it is what it is. As we get into January, you know, we should expect a little bit of cold weather. So
that's right.
I know everyone's just kind of hunkering down today, but hey, lower 50s, we're going to definitely make good use of that today.
Absolutely.
Yep. So, hey, you know, talking here about Morningstar Care Homes, you know, we get to talk with you a couple times a month here, but it's quite likely we have some new folks listening into the program this morning. So you want to tell us just a little bit, you know, about Morningstar Care Homes. You got a couple facilities around the area, right?
We do. We have about 30 beds in Neodesha and an assisted living and memory care facility. And then in Fredonia, we have about 30 beds, and it's just straight assisted living, traditional assisted living facility. And so we're probably the largest provider of services in that, you know, that area right around the Wilson County area. So.
Oh yeah, I mean that's a pretty big facility there. A lot of moving parts, I'm sure, and you got some great folks helping you out with that. So, you know, today we wanted to highlight a little bit of the topic of memory care, and I know that you said the memory care is in the Neodesha building. So, you know, kind of what is this whole, you know, idea of memory care? What does that mean?
Sure. Well, several years ago, I think people really focused on the fact that with the rising rate of Alzheimer's, we needed to provide a different kind of care, a different level of care. And so fortunately, in Neodesha, we do have that separate unit. And what it helps with, James, is first of all, it's a secured facility. And so on a day like we're going to have over the weekend, you certainly don't want your loved one to get outside without you knowing it and be out there.
Oh yeah, you frostbite within 30 minutes easily.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And a second thing that often is helpful over there is since we have a higher level of staffing per resident on the memory care side, we sometimes have people who need two people to assist them with certain activities, maybe three sometimes, and so we have the staffing to do that. But you know, probably the main indicator is when people start to have certain habits, or we call them behaviors, you know, they're repeating questions, the same questions, or making the same statements all day long, having a hard time interacting with the other residents in assisted living. It gives them a structure and a distraction if they're fixated on certain things, you know. Where we normally might tell mom, hey, we've got a doctor's appointment in 2 days, we really don't want to tell them that, because for the next 48 hours it'll create anxiety and stress, and it's just not necessary. And then the structure, they just thrive on routine and regularity and rhythm of the day and that kind of thing. So if they have a tendency toward mood swings or easily being frustrated, it's a good environment. If they've lost the ability to really give and take verbal communication with family members, they may need a lot of what we call cueing. It's saying, hey, it's been a couple hours since you've used the restroom, or hey, you can go ahead and, you know, start to eat now. Got everything ready to go. You know, that helps. Helping them dress appropriately for the weather, brushing their teeth, little things like that. And the big one is probably anxiety. There's just a need for more focused attention, to reassure and just say, hey, everything's fine. You know, I'm here with you. I've got you. And, you know, those are the types of things that I think have motivated this whole different kind of care response to what a large percentage of our elders are going through.
Sure. And I mean, as far as, you know, you talked a little bit about, you know, we kind of have the short-term and the long-term memory, and this is really dealing with some of those issues that arise with that loss of that short-term memory, right?
That's right. A lot of times they can remember, but it's pretty far back, and you know, more and more of the short-term fades. And so what we try to do is not focus on that, but to just enhance those great memories they have of the past.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense. You know, they can still reminisce and all that good stuff and tell those great stories. So, and you know, the fact that, you know, I think you're saying that some residents, you know, they have that loss of that short-term memory, but they could still live successfully in traditional assisted living, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, up to maybe 40% nationally, people who live in assisted living are dealing with some kind of cognitive impairment. It might be Alzheimer's, it might be a stroke, it might be Parkinson's disease, but they can still interact and function, you know, semi-independently. And so that's the goal of Morningstar, is to keep everyone as independent as possible.
Gotcha. So what are some of the other benefits that someone might get from an environment designed specifically for memory care?
Well, I think one of the great benefits, James, is the staffing levels. Where in assisted living, you might provide a caregiver for every 8 or 10 or 12 residents, just depending on your current resident mix and their abilities. In memory care, it's much more concentrated, with one person for every 4 or 5. You know, it's about double. But, you know, increasing staff isn't really enough. They also need, the staff needs training in communication with someone. So, for example, I might say, Sue, I've got your shower ready, instead of saying, do you want to take a shower? Well, I already know the answer to that'll be no.
sure.
But I coax along. They need training and redirection. You know, that constant worry about something, we change the subject to a good old memory in that photo album or whatever we have to work with. And we really try to change our mindset so that instead of bringing the resident into our reality, we go where they are. We go live where they are, mentally, emotionally, cognitively.
Well, and I would feel like with having the higher staffing level, you know, you could really get to know the residents better and, you know their particular needs and, you know, how they want to be approached. Because, yeah, we're all individuals.
That's right. And when a key to get started with that when someone comes in is we have a sheet that summarizes what did they do for a living, what were their hobbies, what were their key family relationships. And so that gives us a little boost to kind of get to know a person, because we can't control whether they think we're like family to them, but we're certainly going to treat them like they're part of our family.
Absolutely. We're talking with Scott Schultz of Morningstar Care Homes here on our Ask the Expert segment. And Scott, how is the memory care area designed to help your residents with some of these issues?
You know, there's a number of things, James. Culture always comes to my mind first. And I know that's kind of a fancy buzzword today, but really it sets the stage. We've already hit it once this morning, but just recognizing what are the needs of each individual, not broad brushing an entire group of 10 or 15 people. Another thing we build in is the right level of stimulation. And usually what's best is a quiet, calm environment that doesn't, you know, stir anxiety and stress and that sort of thing. So we watch what's on the television in a communal, you know, living room setting. We don't want to see the harsh talk radio, and we want to put on, television.
Yeah, all the news that's coming out, you know, that can really, you know, yeah, people don't necessarily need all of that.
That's right. And instead, we might put on something period appropriate, like maybe the Carol Burnett Show. Very funny, very lighthearted. Something maybe geared to the 40s and 50s, you know, on the radio, if they're listening to the radio, you know, try to have a little Frank Sinatra versus what might be popular for the caregivers themselves.
Well, see, that's a really great reminder. Yeah, you want to walk into a facility and it be geared for those, you know, those people there, the residents.
That's right. But, you know, if they've lived alone, what they actually may crave is a little more socialization than they've had. And so you do socialize with them in a appropriate stimulation level, which means letting them know they're surrounded by loving people. They may have just or we just developed a something in the architecture, James, a private handicap accessible shower room that's kind of out in the common area. And the reason is access. You know, traditionally, the assisted living showers are much like you would have at home. It might be 30 by 30 opening or 32 by 32 and be hard to navigate. So this will be a full-size place where we can provide better access for people that are struggling with that physical disability. It also boils down to what we call resident engagement, or what's popularly called activities. Again, we want to meet the resident where they are. In many cases, batting a beach ball may be much more productive than trying to work a crossword puzzle, for example. Whatever really helps that person feel engaged at the moment. We don't need to worry about whether they'll remember it an hour from now. It's what care can I provide now?
Sure, yeah, and make that enjoyment, and yeah, have those appropriate activities that really can help to break up that day, yet still providing some of that structure.
Right. You know, not to cross over into sports, but with Nick Saban's retirement, you know, it makes you want to think about, he always focused on the process. Well, the process means, at this moment in this person's life, I'm going to treat it like it's the highest event of the day for both of us. I'm not just going to slough through it and that kind of thing. Also, you want what's called range of motion in our industry as far as exercise. You want to see the person moving. Moving just affects so many functions and makes you better at being able to live life. So it might be as simple as doing something seated, where you're exercising, but you're not necessarily moving your legs in walking or jumping or the types of things we might think of, but just moving while you're in the chair. It might be time outside. People love nature when the weather cooperates. Not today, of course, but maybe today. I should say not this weekend. Yeah. It's bringing the soothing things to them. If that's church hymns, then that's what we want to do. If it's attending some kind of a in-home service, then we want to do that.
Well, and I can't believe how many people of all ages love watching the birds. You know, I'm sure you have got some bird feeders.
You bet. Yeah, that's a highlight. I know when my wife works with her mom, who's still at home, filling that bird feeder outside the window is priority one.
You got it. I know. I've got some neighbors who did. They do that all day long, seems like. So
yeah,
that's some great stuff. So anything else, you know, as far as, you know, the memory care goes that, you know, that you've designed specifically, you know, for these residents?
I think those are the high points,
gotcha.
Really. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that's a lot. There's a lot of different things available for them.
There really are.
Now, as far as, you know, we hear these words, you know, Alzheimer's, dementia. Are those different there? You know, what are some of these unique, you know, situations that arise with those?
Well, certainly, they're different. Dementia itself can encompass up to, I've heard, 50 different kinds. You know, Alzheimer's is one of those subsets and probably the largest group. And so what we often see there is that the model of care we provide does apply to all the different types of cognitive impairment that the person's struggling with, but the symptoms they have may require an expert opinion regarding the types of treatment that they're getting, mainly medications. And so there's a movement in our industry to, you know, stay away from what's called antipsychotic medications. Well, first of all, we've seen that the environment reduces the reliance on those things. But secondly, let's be honest, it's easier if a person's a bit snowed, for lack of a better word. So that's why the crackdown on the industry. But I think sometimes we overcorrect. There's a 2021 study by the government that says sometimes we fail to distinguish between what's appropriate and what's inappropriate treatment. And so what we do is point the families to our expert from Wichita, who's a nurse practitioner with a mental health emphasis in her education, and we let them evaluate and advise family, and we play kind of a middleman role to make sure that we take the edge off if that's necessary.
Sure, but yeah, you're not going to just do something blanket for everyone. And it's just like, you know, if you people out there who have young kids, yeah, while it might be easy for you to sit them in front of the TV all day, it's probably not the best. It's not going to be the best thing for them.
That is a perfect analogy, James. That's spot on.
Yeah, so you know, it's sometimes having to do that harder thing, but in the end, that's really the best thing for the person there.
That's right.
So, and then, so I guess, you know, any kind of unique situations that arise maybe specifically for that Alzheimer's?
Well, I really think that it's different clinically, but it's not different in our setting because we're not medical providers. We are helping the resident get what they need from the medical providers. And the provider may differentiate, but for us, it's helpful to know. For example, I'll real quickly point out Lewy body dementia can cause a person to really have a lot of agitation that other types of dementia does not cause. And so we may not have any great tools in the tool bag, but it's the recognition that if they say that they're in bed with their spouse who's now deceased, it's because hallucination or delusion is hitting them. Knowing that then informs us how to respond.
Gotcha. So, you know, you guys really are the experts in knowing how to, you know, as these things come up, knowing what that response is. So, you know, as we kind of wrap up our time here today with Scott Schultz of Morningstar Care Home. Scott, I know that, you know, we're going through this month of January and you do have a move-in discount going on during this kind of, you know, cold, you know, difficult time of year.
Yeah, we sure do, James. If the person moves in January, we're going to give them a first month fully free, no charge. And I hope that helps the transition because no one wants to move their loved one in this time of year. But if it's time, it's time. And we want to be there.
Yeah, it's a difficult decision, I know, for those caregivers, but you are here to help every step of the way. Scott, if people do want to get a hold of you over at Morningstar Care Homes and, you know, maybe start this process or just, you know, look around, come by for a visit, what's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
Well, I think the easiest way to remember is just to look on the web and pull up morningstarcarehomes.com. You might type in Fredonia or Neodache to direct it, but certainly if you have a pad and paper, our phone number is in Neodache, 620-325-2244, and in Fredonia, 620-378-2329.
All righty. Well, Scott, I'm so glad to have you come by here this morning, and hope you can stay warm here these next few days, and we look forward to chatting again in a couple weeks.
Great, James. Thank you.
All right. It's Scott Schultz of Morningstar Care Homes here on the Mighty 690. We have Denise York from Coffeyville's Reawakening up next here on KGGF.